Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're tuned into the best damn Husker and NFL coverage on the radio.
We don't fly at 40,000 feet. We're not big picture group. They have work to do today.
You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
And if they focus on anything other than that, it's going to be a problem.
This is the Gregeth and Hook Show.
That's like a prerequisite to being at this level.
Welcome back into Gregeth and Hooks. Again, happy Victory Monday. Hope you guys are kicked off and having a great Monday. Coming off a beautiful, beautiful Husker weekend. Beautiful Husker weekend. Before we get into more basketball talk, we need to shout out our Husker volleyball team. Let's shout them out. They go up to Minneapolis, take care of business against Kentucky. Sweep.
Another sweep.
Oregon,
have not lost in the tournament yet.
Have not lost a set. They will be making their fourth straight, right?
Four straight
Final Four appearance.
For those seniors, that's amazing.
Also, that was their seventh trip to the regional finals. Seventh straight. Four straight Final Four. You've got two seniors on this team.
McKenzie Maloney
and Michaela Fecky, who will be making their fourth straight Final Four appearance with two national titles and a chance to win their third.
That is amazing.
They'll head back to Minneapolis, who they will take Big Ten foe Illinois, who they have split with this year, both on each other's home court. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, ESPN.
So we're assured of having a Big Ten team in the final, which is, I think, you know, I'll argue with anybody, but I think each conference has a sport which they kind of hang their hat on. Obviously, the past few years, the Big Ten has kind of just owned volleyball. That was apparent this weekend when you saw Nebraska go up against a Kentucky team that had won the SEC, had won, I don't know, was it close to 20 matches in a row? Yep. And Nebraska, for lack of a better term, made short work of them.
Yeah, the Huskers get it. I'm a big volleyball fan. If you guys don't know, you hear me. I take my daughter all the time. We have season tickets. The theme of this team this year, one, they're young. They were growing. They were learning. They went through a stretch early in the season where they were playing like four teams in the top 15, all this stuff. This team is a defensive team. When this defense is rolling on in the volleyball matches, it's incredible. I'm going to say something last night over the past. That was the 13th time this year that they held a team to their lowest hitting percentage for the season. That's incredible. And also, let's not forget, if you were at the game on Saturday night, as the Huskers were beating up on the Hoojays, they threw the volleyball scores. It was running the entire time.
It was.
And then when it went to match point, they threw it up on the screen. And they played the song they played? Everybody, there was like 15,000, besides the Hoojay fans. There were Hoojay fans not clapping, by the way.
There were.
They got the whole clap going. Boom, boom. You know how, if you've been to a volleyball match, when it gets to set point or match point, when you're at 24, the entire crowd stands and they get the clap, 8,000 plus. PBA was that at match point against Oregon.
Also, you speak of Creighton fans not cheering when the volleyball team won. They were cheering, though, when they showed Scott Frost on the big screen.
That is a J-sker.
Yep.
There you go. We defined it.
Speaking of J-skers, man, have you seen what they're going to Twitter with? They are, so I guess.
Oh, Husker fans aren't classy now. Right?
Obviously, they're salty that they finally lost to Nebraska, but you should listen to some of these tweets that, I mean, I guess they're surprised that we hate J-skers. Like, I guess they don't understand why we do.
Well, they live in their entitled little world.
I guess.
It's a really different world they live in.
Bring back T. Scott tweeted, "The University of Nebraska at Lincoln fan base is among the worst in college sports. Learn that firsthand tonight. Horrible people, some."
Really? Wow. Have you ever been to a game up there in Omaha?
Yeah.
To that place that they rename every 2 years?
Trashy.
What is the name of it? Like the Acme Burlap Sack Center or whatever
now
it is?
Now it's the CHI Health Center.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, it's ridiculous.
Super salty.
This other guy says, classiest fans in the country, huh?
Super
just,
salty.
Just doesn't really make sense.
Super salty. But again, congratulations, Husker Volleyball. If you get a chance, you're not doing anything Thursday night. If you're not going, tune in. ESPN is 8 o'clock. Huskers take on Illinois. Monumental moment for those girls, ladies, all of them. Super proud. If you get a chance, give those guys a follow on Twitter because they put out good stuff.
They do.
Especially the post game. It tells you a lot about what it means. And I think when you look at that team and you relate it to football, what Frost is trying to do, John Cook has it.
Yeah, I think
with those ladies.
He does.
You see how much it means to him. He's one of the most successful ones out there.
He's almost like the Nick Saban of college volleyball.
If you think about this, there's only one other volleyball program that is doing or has done what they're doing right now with four straight Final Fours and seven straight regions. If you're not a Penn State volleyball.
Yeah, it's another Big Ten team.
You don't know what this is about. But just to watch his videos and him talk and kind of choke up about what's going on and how much this means, man, do yourself a favor. Continue the Husker Week. 8 o'clock ESPN, they take on Illinois.
One of the great things about during that basketball game, like you said, they had that score going, and it would be like 24-20. And it would be during the middle of, like, nothing going on in the game. I think, you know, Glenn Watson bringing the ball up the court, and all of a sudden the crowd would just erupt and stand up
because
Nebraska just won set one 25-20. And I think one time it actually startled some of the basketball players. They were looking around like, what happened? And it was kind of neat. But you hit the nail on the head. We won the first two sets. We get to that third one. We happened to be at a timeout during that time, and they put match point up there on the big screen. And it was just amazing to watch. And I took my son to the game. We looked around the crowd, and everyone in blue, while that was on, was standing there with their arms crossed. Yep. Absolutely
incredible.
Loved it.
Incredible. But again, Huskers beat the Hoojays again on Saturday night. Defensively, really good job defensively. This team is a very good defensive team. The Huskers are very good defensive. Here are a couple things. So Creighton goes out 26 of 60, 43% for the game, 40% from three. They were 12 of 21 from the line, 57% from the line. Huskers did. You had the one kid, the Bala kid, who goes off 7 of 10 from three. But a better description of what Nebraska did to them, one, they slowed him down in transition, zero fast break points. But they're stud. They've got a guy, Tyshawn Alexander, who's averaging 19.4 a game. Comes in the game, he goes 2 of 10, 1 of 4 from three.
Would he end up with 8 points total?
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't very many. But, And they took turns on defending him, so he was getting different looks every game. You know, we talked about the Bala kid. He had one of those games where, you know, he could throw it up and it was just going in. Other than that, you did not see a lot of offensive production. Points in the paint, we kept them way down on that as far as, you know, being able to collapse on that. We kind of missed out on when they kicked the ball back out and have an open shooter. But I think we're outside of number 24, we were willing to let them shoot because it became pretty apparent early on that outside of him, they were not making many outside shots. Took that gamble on that, and it definitely paid off. But because I think a lot of us watched about a week ago when Creighton – you know, played with Gonzaga for the better part of 38 minutes for a game. And so I think that had a lot of people worried coming in here. You know, how are we going to stop that Creighton offense that has that capability to strike quickly and often? And you saw it, that we're going to make a defense definitely a point of emphasis this game.
Yep.
We did switch it up. You saw him go from the man-to-man. Tim even threw that 1-3-1 zone at him a few times, kind of got them out of rhythm. And a team like Creighton, when they're not in rhythm and you make them go into an offensive set, that's not their strong point, and that played a big part.
We made the Husker turn every opportunity into points almost last night, Saturday night. Creighton had 12 turnovers, which led to 17 Nebraska points. Nebraska turns the ball over 10 times, only led to 5 points. You talk about the paint, 26-26 in the paint right there. So we tied them in the paint. Two more second-chance points, 6 fast break points to 0. And Creighton led for all of 27 seconds.
It was 4-3 at one point, and that was it.
All of 27 seconds. Huskers lead the rest of the way out. But defensively, we create opportunities in turn to transition. We defended well. Switches were good. Everything was really good about this basketball team. To me, I think this is a big momentum charge in Nebraska. They're 8-2. I want to say first time since, 2010? Something like that?
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
8-2. You get a big you get a road game this week, essentially. A road, maybe a home game, depending on how many fans are going to be there. I'm going to be there.
I will be there.
Willie J will be in the house.
Yes, sir.
Your Huskers have a week.
Are you guys
right
riding
now.
Together?
No.
Sunday morning about 8, 9 o'clock. No, we're leaving early.
You're leaving Friday morning?
Saturday. Sunday. Oh, okay. Sunday. It's the game's Sunday, right?
The game is on Sunday.
On Sunday. We're going to leave super early. Go. The Huskers will travel to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah. You've been to Sioux Falls a lot?
A couple times. I've had a couple golf trips there.
Yeah.
But never. Here's the deal. I'm going to lie to you. Like, being a Husker basketball fan, my first road trip to watch a Husker game.
All right.
It's a great town. It really is.
No, I've been there many times.
I won't say anything about some of the other cities that are close, but I think Sioux City is in Iowa. So
Sioux City sucks.
But Sioux Falls
smells terrible.
It does. Yeah, I got to go there for work. But Sioux Falls is a great town. My first road trip was actually to go down to Bramlage. K-State.
Really?
I got treated fairly decent, but that was a great venue, too. So, yes, not a home game. You would suspect we'd have more fans there than
them.
What
does it seat? Like 3,200 or something? It's not that big.
There's other games going on,
too,
I think.
Iowa played there a couple of years ago.
But that weekend, I think it's like a showcase, because I think other teams are playing there.
It might be. The Huskers will travel there Sunday. I believe a 6 o'clock tip. They'll play Oklahoma State in a unique type road game for both teams up there, which I think will be fun. Huskers, this is a big one. I think we talked about this. Robin Walsh just talked about this. This four-game stretch, we needed to go 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
We're doing pretty good so far.
We dropped the one to Minnesota. You get Creighton. You got Clemson, so you're at 2-1. Mm-hmm. This is a pivotal game as well.
Oklahoma State, they may not seem like they're all that, but they got some talent, and I think in the end that will be a good RPI win.
And we'll be previewing that game throughout the week as we get ready to take that task on up in Sioux Falls.
One thing I'm looking at Creighton is, you know, if we would have lost that game, we obviously would have had to do a lot more to get into the tournament. Mm-hmm. But with that win, I mean, we just got to, you know, at least win every home game, and, you know, that helps a lot. I think it involves us to do less work to get into the tournament,
it does.
I think.
You know, because after the Oklahoma State game, you turn around 6 days later, you have a Cal State Fullerton team coming into PBA, mm-hmm. which, correct me if I'm wrong, I know you guys are a little quicker with your technology than I am. I think they made the tournament last year.
They did.
So I think it's imperative that we go and accumulate as many of these wins before that calendar switches over to 2019 as possible. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as high as we are right now, make no mistake, we're going to lose some games in the Big Ten. It happens. We saw that Wednesday night. You may not be prepared for one. But I think, like you guys have talked to, we hold serve at home. You know, you go, you know, even a 10-10, you know, and you're still staring at 21 wins, which I think this year, because of what we've been able to do non-conference, that should be enough. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, do I think we're going to go 10-10 in conference? No, I could see us maybe doing, you know, a 13-7, 14-6, something like that. But yes, go out, get these wins right now. Be riding that wave a little bit higher once conference play starts, because I think once we're into January, I think we start off, I want to say, on the road against Maryland and Iowa, mm-hmm. which are both ranked right now. Yep. So it gets a lot tougher.
And to your great point, again, Creighton game, big win in the program sense, right, for 10 miles, for the state, for those players. Big Ten is going to be, has to be the focus.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? Big Ten's got to be the focus. That's where we're going to make our hay. Again, all these Power 5 quad one wins. We're going to talk a lot about those later in the season. This one might come up. Again, you look back from that perspective, Seton Hall goes out and beats Kentucky over the weekend.
That was awesome.
That Seton Hall win might become a bigger win than we think at this point. We get Clemson. That's going to turn into be a big win for us. But again, Big Ten's got to be our focus.
Yep.
This won't be one. I think this is a monumental win for the program in 10 miles. But when we look throughout this season, I hope, and again, Omaha and Luke tweeted this out, and I was written on my notes. This should not be one of our top three wins of the year.
Yeah.
It's got to be in the Big Ten. We've got to go find those Big Ten wins.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be talking in a couple months or so that the biggest win of the season was at Michigan State or at Michigan or somewhere else, somewhere at home, or we get these guys and we really start to rise in the rings of the Big Ten.
Because I think the conference is a lot better than what most people thought it was going to be going into.
This thing's deep.
Because we talked about how a lot of people had picked Nebraska possibly finishing third in the conference. And a couple weeks ago, we had seven teams ranked in the top 25, and we were not one of them. I think Iowa surprised some people. Maryland has surprised some people. Even Northwestern and Penn State have played some great games so far. Ethan Happ with Wisconsin. You know, we thought Wisconsin was just going to be Ethan Happ and some other people. They've played well. Ohio State, they lost a lot last year. You know, they're playing great ranked, you know, in the top 15, I want to say. So it's going to be night in and night out. You better be strapped in and ready to go.
Any given night, do not let off in the Big Ten. You've got, it doesn't matter what team it is for me. I mean, you got Indiana. They're struggling a little bit. They're going to be good. Maryland, tough basketball team. They are going to be tough. All of them.
Who ended up winning the Big Ten ACC Challenge? Did we get more wins?
It was a tie.
Was it?
It was a complete tie. Yep. Complete tie. So, all right, let's take another break. Hey, first of all, so Caller 5 right now, we're going to do movie tickets. No. Caller 5, we're going to get you registered for the Holiday Hail Mary.
Okay.
Caller 5, Holiday Hail Mary. But after the break.
Hold on, let's do 15.
15. We're going to go 15.
Because the streamers.
Down. Good call, Willie J.
Yeah.
They're down, so Caller 15. Then after the break, Willie J is going to play a clip of Ugg McDermott. His dad, Greg, salty little man he is, of his post-game presser.
Little man?
And we're going to play a little game after the break. How salty is Coach McDermott in Creighton?